O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Today is Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of our liturgical year. Next Sunday, we will begin again the cycle of celebrating the seasons of our faith as we start Advent. So today becomes our liturgical New Year's Eve. But our readings today don't exactly say, "Break out the champagne and fireworks," now, do they? It seems a strange time to suddenly have our crucifixion story. We're a long way from Good Friday, after all. Next week, we will begin lighting our Advent wreaths and looking for the coming light of the Incarnation. We'll wait and watch expectantly, not yet overcome by the full joy of Christmas, but growing in hope, knowing our Savior is coming. At Christmas, we will celebrate the light that has broken into our world, and we will bask in that light through Epiphany. And then the Sunday before our other holy season of Lent will be Transfiguration Sunday, a Sunday when everything is about bright, brilliant light and luminosity. Yet here we are, about to embark on Advent, about to gird up our spiritual loins, and we are met with the darkest of days. Yet, unlike Good Friday, when the altar and the church are stripped of all color and we're vested in black, today we're dressed in white and decked out for a high feast day. What on earth is going on today? Today we live in the paradox of our faith. We like to say that we celebrate the kingdom of God that is now and also not yet, which is true and sounds lovely, but somehow not yet fails to articulate what's really being said. Not yet is dark, because not yet is death and evil that has not yet been reached by the light. Just as resurrection cannot be known without first knowing death, we cannot truly celebrate the kingdom of God without peering deep into the kingdom from which we are saved. Today, at the end of our church year, we look back and we celebrate what God has done to make our broken world and our broken hearts whole. Today, in reading the crucifixion story, we must remember the sins of the world for which Jesus died, the brokenness of ourselves and our world, which we strive so hard to mend and cannot heal ourselves. We remember back to the original fall when our relationships, our hearts, our world were torn apart by the rifts that still plague us. Scripture tells us the story this way. After the infamous story with the fruit, Adam and Eve, who once went on walks with God, hide from their Creator. Their brokenness causes a disruption between humans and the physical world too, bringing toil into working with the earth from which they came. And these two, who once were one flesh and able to be naked together with nothing between them and no shame, are now divided. In their brokenness, the man comes to rule over the woman, and patriarchy becomes a sad replacement for that most intimate of partnerships. Before too long, one brother kills another out of jealousy, causing tears in a family that could never be healed this side of heaven. And eventually, at the Tower of Babel, the distortion of creativity and power once again causes more division, with people splitting into tribes and nations that would forever struggle to see the image of God in those different from themselves, instead seeing others as competitors for the sparse resources in this abundant world. And they would work together to create powers, systems, and institutions that embodied their brokenness in ways that became even greater than each individual person. This is the way Scripture explains the way our world is today, full of the goodness and beauty with which it was created, and deeply broken. You can imagine ancient people telling these stories to their children to explain how the world came to be the way they saw it, the way it still is today. And maybe today is a good day to tell these stories, because I know today I long for an explanation of how we got to this place. But I also long for hope that it will, to know that it will ever be different from how I see it now. I don't think I've ever been more aware of the truth that our world is so deeply broken. We've just lived through the most contentious presidential election, certainly in my history, and the end has only brought out the truth that we still have so much work to do. All around me, and also deep within me, I feel levels of anxiety and fear, even despair at times. There's so many people in our nation, in our world, who are hurting deeply, fearful of what the next days and months and years will bring. And it seems nearly impossible to bridge the gaps between us enough to do the actual work of building a future together. These are not just struggles on a national level. We know most of these divisions in a deeply personal way. Families are torn apart in ways that will never be healed this side of eternity. We avoid topics that may lead to an argument. And this year, as we head into the holidays, we may wonder what we're left to talk about. We struggle against shame to let even those with whom we are most intimate know us fully. And regardless of whether our relationships are healthy or not, death eventually tears us apart, perhaps making us most aware of how others are meant to be part of us and that a very part of ourselves has been torn asunder. And then there are the powers among us that are larger than groups, larger than institutions, racism, sexism, greed, in which our very selves we both often labor against and at the same time participate in. These forces are so large, we wonder if we can actually do anything to change. And the divisions that tear apart our world are truest in my own heart, my own soul. As Jesus says of those torturing him, they know not what they do. How often is this true for us? But today, as easy as it would be to believe that all is lost, today we do not stand here as those without hope. Even on the days I cannot understand it, it is precisely this world of death and brokenness that God chose to be part of. Christ was born, became one of us, and lived in this world. He was part of the human family, affected by all of its divisions and tears, the pain and brokenness, until it went to the farthest extreme. God saw our brokenness, and living among us said, "I would rather die than be part of continuing this." And on the cross, the very being of God is somehow torn asunder as he cries, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The very ground of being itself takes on our brokenness. And in the same mystery, in which all we know is reversed as death gives way to new life, so in being torn by our brokenness, God begins to bring us back together. Our Colossians passage is one of the most beautiful descriptions of who Christ our King is and what this cross means for our world. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. On the cross, Christ bears our sin, our shame, our guilt, and our pain, all the darkness of our world, and at the same time, he is the fullness of God, the very being of goodness and beauty and truth. In Christ, all things hold together. In this moment, all is brought together, and God is reconciling all things to God's very being. All things, the parts of myself, the members of my family, living and dead, the dominions and powers, the systems and institutions in which I participate and which I work against, the thrones and rulers, the nations and states which seem so far from truce, let alone peace, the very world in which we live, all is being brought together. All of reality, visible and invisible, seen and unseen, known and unknown, all is being brought back together, healed of our wounds, and gathered together in the loving family for which we were created, on this earth from which we were created. And so today we stand on the precipice, staring into the darkness and brokenness that is brought to the fullness on the cross, and also looking forward and dreaming of the kingdom of God, that world we know is being created in our midst, because we know that the death on the cross was not the end. This is our call as the body of Christ, to bridge this world of brokenness in which we live and the world that God created us for, holding out that vision and working for it with every ounce of life we are given. I was reminded of this call yesterday when our diocesan convention concluded our Eucharist by singing "Lift Every Voice and Sing." I had almost forgotten the final verse, and yesterday it nearly brought me to tears. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who hast brought us thus far on the way, Thou who hast by Thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met Thee, lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget Thee. Shadowed beneath Thy hand, may we forever stand, true to our God, true to our native land. Our native land, my friends, is the one for which we were created and to which we are going. The land in which this Christ, who came into our broken world and died on the cross and rose again, who is reconciling all things to himself, this Christ in whom all things hold together, our native land is the one in which this Christ is the King. That land is being built all around us, and we are called to join in the work of building that world where all people are treated as the children of God that they are. A world where justice and righteousness roll down like a river. A world where all people and all things are reconciled. A world where all has been brought together. A world that lives in peace that is beyond our understanding and our imaginations. Today we celebrate our native land, that kingdom, that dream of God for which we were all created. Today we celebrate that whatever we see around us that may make us believe otherwise, today we celebrate that we know the end of the story. Today we celebrate that the light has come into the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. Today we celebrate that all that is broken, broken hearts and broken families, broken systems and broken people, broken nations and a broken world, today we celebrate all will be reconciled, that all will be made whole, that the Christ who holds us together is more powerful than whatever divides us, and that all that is dead around us and in us will be raised to new life. And today we gather here and we taste that reality. Today we come together despite all that breaks in us and between us. Today we break apart bread, and because we break it, we all get to take part of it. And in so doing, it becomes part of us and we become part of the same. Today we celebrate that Christ's brokenness makes us whole, that his death gives us new life, and we gather together here as one day we will with all of God's creation. And until then, let us stand and open our hymnals to page 599, and let us lift every voice and sing, till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies, let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Amen. Amen.